Amen, amen. All right. First, the person who asks this question need help as touching matters of the heart. Because apparently the person is offended. Now, listen. There is a way the things of the spirit work. Money is a defense. It's very important. For us to do many of the things we are doing, for this meeting to be put together, millions of naira has gone down. You follow what I'm saying? But listen, what you get in the energy of the flesh and what you got through faith process, they are two different things. Okay? Now, people get to territories. And this happens a lot. Somebody's entering into a territory and say, we're going to shut down this territory. So we're going to take over this territory. You observe where they are talking from. They are talking about the millions of naira they came with. We'll get this billboard, we'll get that. But the one who came by grace will advance. Now, let me say this to you as a pastor, okay? I'm also into real estate. I have properties, personal properties that I sell. I'm into farming. I'm into food business. But there is something called dealings. You get to a point in God that God doesn't allow you to be corrupted by those things. Because he that eats must be as though he eats not. So we are not saying somebody is coming to a ministry. We are saying if it is God leading you, there is a cup you must drink from. God is going to, listen to what I'm saying, he's not going to be an omega of what is not the alpha. He will start with you from the very beginning where he can take responsibility for the outcome. Because some people just say, I have this money, I have that. They start working in pride. And say, the reason why other ministers are broke is because they are not working. I am into this, I am into that. Oh boy. That one is for JJC. There is this one that God, I don't want to share so many stories. Okay? But let me share this. When I was going to leave Ibadan, don't let me share this, every story. But there are instructions that God will give you that will humble you from that thing you think you have. That thing cannot sustain the weight of the future. It may buy a drum set and buy a keyboard. But the way God wants to finance your ministry is not your personal money. One of the signs that you are in error is that you are using personal money to finance ministry. It's good to give to the ministry. That means you are escaping the process of growth. So that you not have to grow and say, I have it, I have it. You can't sponsor what God calls for. You can only be a partaker. So we submit ourselves to process regardless. And that's why I have to start by telling you what I do also. So you don't feel these pastors are speaking because they are broke. No. God bless you.
I think that's it. So those of us that have one thing or the other that you're doing before you get into ministry, don't put your heart that what you're doing is what you are the sponsor of the ministry. I said it when I started. I guess that person, probably you were not around initially. So you must understand that God sponsors his work. What he calls for, he provides for. Apostle has said already, time comes where you discover that there are a lot you can do. Remember, real estate and other businesses did not start when they were renting room together and squatting. You understand what I'm saying now? Uh-huh. And if you go and read the history of many others, if you are a Bible student of Bible history or God's general's history, let me put it that way, you'll be able to see the experiences. Yes. That's it. It's a simple answer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question says, what do you do when a pastor in your ministry doesn't seem to subscribe to your vision? He's older than me, and I think it's time to let him go because of division.
Okay. When you find yourself in a ministry and the pastor doesn't subscribe to the vision, whoever does not subscribe to the vision will cause division. Anybody who does not subscribe to the vision will cause division. In an honorable manner, Paul said that Timothy should speak to them as fathers. Call him. It's obvious that he's probably using the age to look at the whole situation. But those who served with Jesus did not look at it like that. So it's time for that person to exit the ministry, as it were. But you must be wise to speak with him in a very simple way and let the person exit the ministry. I think the person has stayed enough. What do you think, sir?
You have said it in a very nice way, but it's still the same thing. Use the door and go to where you believe.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is for Pastor Regina. This person says, Pastor Regina Ma, are there some personal ambitions you abandoned because of your marriage to a pastor? If yes, do you still feel fulfilled? Also, what is your advice to ladies planning to get to marry or already married to men who are actively in ministry or intending to start?
Praise God. Okay, well, the first question, yes, there are things I did leave. Yes, I left. I wanted to do advertising at some point, and I was very passionate about it. I was passionate about, you know, writing scripts for those things. That's why I did my IT in that kind of setting, and it was something really in my heart. And I remember at those times that those who promised to help me even said I should reply to Lagos, serve in their company and all of that, you know. I went back to them and stuff, and everybody just started saying, no, 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 no. So I went back to God and I started praying. And I knew clearly that God wanted the whole of me and not me to be in that place. So that's one thing that I say I left behind. Every other thing that I'm doing now in ministry, a part of what God told me, I will use in ministry. But that particular thing is one thing I abandoned. I knew that, yes, I had to let go. So the second question is,
what is your advice to ladies planning to marry or already married to men who are actively in ministry or intending to start?
Okay. I don't regret leaving that anyway. I don't. You cannot follow God and regret it. If you follow God full-heartedly with the whole of your heart, you can't regret it. There is process, but you will never. I feel so fulfilled doing what I'm doing. I feel so fulfilled with what I have. I still feel so fulfilled where I am. I feel so fulfilled. I'm privileged that God will choose a person like me to walk in these shoes. So it's a privilege, and I feel fulfilled about it. So the second question, my advice, okay, I have plenty of advice, but one of it will be submission. The power of submission is very, very important. Very important. Very, very. I don't know how to overemphasize it, but submission is key. As a pastor's wife or person planning to be in ministry, because at some point, when the blessings begin to flow in, they will marvel. You yourself will be amazed about how I'm being treated, how I'm being like that. But if you're not a humble person, you don't have that of submission, you will enter into trouble because you begin to have entitlement mentality. One of the things you must learn is that you are called to serve. The role of a pastor's wife is not positional. It's a call to serve. It's service. It's not, oh, I'm now mama, or I'll be called mama, I'll be receiving gifts, they'll be helping me. Mm-mm. It's a call to serve. I usually tell people that help me sometimes, I say, everything anybody does for me is a privilege that they do it for me, and I honor them in return, and I say, thank you. I don't just take it for granted. So one of the things, two things now, submission and humility. Very important. Oh, that one very well. Let's start with that. So I think I'll leave it on that note. Submission and humility. Very cool. Thank you.
Let me add to it. I know it's a question, but another thing I think is submission, humility, like she said. I also think one of the things that you must hold on, not the entitlement mentality, that people owe you something or whatever. You know, many of us know that sometimes my wife doesn't even like to sit here. They have wife, pastor's wife that drag microphone with the husband. Preach. When am I going to preach like this? Am I just here? But this is something that every time I say you're going to minister, it's an opportunity, it's a privilege for her. She feels like, wow, seriously? 20 Days of Glory, this is the first time she's ministering 20 Days of Glory, is that? Okay, Saturday is of the other one, second time. Yes. I could run a program as I'm led, and not once will she come and say, well done, no, Pastor. Which day, me too, I go talk. Do you understand? That humility, submission thing, I think there's a way to break it down again so that you'll be seeing it. You have to see it. If there's any blessing that a man of God receives, it's when your wife is able to know that this is my pastor, he's my father, he's my man of God, and I know how to hold him to in the house, hold ourselves. But when we finish holding ourselves in the house, husband and wife, we can kiss ourselves, I can do those things. But when we say, madam, deadline Tuesday, go out, if you don't work, hallelujah, for the Lord reigns. The reason is because If you don't work, it does not work. I don't work. God will look at one day. I usually tell my wife, I say, what if you don't do your work, God can replace you. If God knows that this work will suffer because of you, he can replace you. There are many pastors' wives that were replaced because God knew that this one will be an obstacle to moving forward. I am concerned about the millions and only you blocking everything. I keep that mindset in her, and I think that has had the way to shape her mind again that no, I will work. I will do it. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? So I think anybody that aspires for pastor, it's not positional, no, it's work. Oh, you will cry. When they show you deadline, program, events, you will cry. But cry well, it's good.
Must also learn where to draw the line between husband and pastor. Now that's very, very key. That's very key because sometimes you can take him for granted. By God's grace, I somehow know where to draw the line between this is my husband now. This is husband mode activated. And there's pastor mode activated. And I don't judge when he's talking to me as my father. When he's talking to me as my husband, I can cry, I can do this. When he's talking to me as my pastor, I don't cry. As my husband, I can cry. But as my pastor, as my father, there are two different things. So please know where to draw the line. Please know where to draw the line. Thank you
very much, Pastor Regina. Thank you, Pastor Marvin. The next question is, next person says, my wife says she is called to pioneer in ministry, and I would like you to please advise how I can handle such. A woman is also asking a similar question. She's saying that, how would God have women in ministry? How would have women do the work of ministry?
Okay, praise God. Praise God. There are two dimensions to what I see here. Now, the woman who wants to do a ministry, the one, but one question is, your husband has to be 100% in support of what you want to do. That's where you can get it working. He has to support you. He has to be willing. But if he's saying he's not interested in what you're doing, and you say you must do it by all means, that's already disloyalty. Now, did you people consider, did you see the calling, the coming, or it just came after you got married? Because this is a very complex situation where if you have seen the calling coming and is aware, he should not stop you because he knows what he married. But if he had not seen it coming and you are the one coming, you will come with a high level of submission to his authority to ensure that he now gives you his backing. And if he has not given you his backing yet, he has not given you his backing yet, and you have a pastor over you, you will go and discuss with your pastor that matter with him and say, sir, see, both of you will go together. He will discuss. That's, there's something that counseling will do. Maybe the man of God opens the eyes of the man to understand the essence of giving your wife to ministry. Let her do what God is calling her to do and all that. So it requires a little bit of counseling here and there. But if you go out on your own to just say you want to go and do ministry, whether he likes it or not, though, you see, sometimes God watches the weight of our character and is more important first before he puts the ministry on yourself. He would have seen that your character, you are going to be ready for this. You prepare for it. In fact, some people who have ministry, they will never fulfill because their character could not carry it. So if your character cannot carry it, another person will find expression whose character can carry it. And that woman should not think that you are the only person called in this life. You will still have to submit to the authority of your husband. And through that, he sees your heart, then he's willing to allow you. Any person that he respects in ministry might be needed to add a voice to it. Then he will allow you to do what God has called you to do. But if he refuses and he will not allow you, it might be very tough. You probably have married somebody that is an iron man. Yes, but I also know that prayer can go a long way. When you start praying ahead, soften his heart, before you know it, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to him about it, and maybe somewhere he will come up.
You know the reason why I'm laughing? Men can be stubborn. Men and ego are 5 and 6.
Yeah.
It's actually a tough one. But let me just say this. Adding to what Pastor said, marry someone that has revelation of who you are. Then marry a secure man. A very secure man. Who wants to see you become the best version of yourself. Do you understand that now? The questions that first come to the heart of the man is, will she not be my pastor? Well, for the lady in ministry, in church you can be a pastor at home, you're a wife. In church you can lead at home, you submit. Get the balance right. Then check, what is the fear of many men? Arrogance. It's true that unfortunately, very few women can handle power.
True.
Unfortunately. So you must prove yourself to be a virtuous woman. It is not an attack on women. And feminist movement is not the way out. Following God's pattern is the way out. Is that clear?
Yes.
I so much believe in women ministry. We have female pastors, more than male pastors.
Wow.
You see? But if they get married to the one who said, I don't believe this, it's over. The question in our heart is, why did you marry him in the first place? So ask questions before you get married. Don't ask, what's your best color? There's nothing you want to do. You are not a rainbow. You understand? What's your best? Ask important questions. All right? That pertains to where you are going in life. And if you marry the will of God, all these things should be very simple.
Simple.
Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question says, good morning, sirs. What do I do with heavy burdens? There are two questions on burdens. What do I do with heavy burdens? It makes me cry seriously whenever it happens. And I don't want to delve into error, sir. Please help me. Then the next question on burden is saying, if you sense the calling of God on your life and you don't really have a burden for souls, what can you do?
You sense the call of God upon your life.
Yes, and you don't really have a burden for souls. What?
And before the call, you go and pray for the burden for souls. Because who are you called to? Calling to ministry is to people, is that not? Souls, is that not? The essence is to reach out to souls. Whatever method is still souls. So if you have not found the burden for souls, you should first go. When you get the call, you will go back to the caller and say, caller, Ishet Eromio, I want any king loba. Give me burden for them. Because if you don't have burden for souls, it can be very... I think one of God's generals mentioned something. I can't remember whether there's a shimmer. I don't know. One of them at the initial stage that he needed to pray for God to put in his heart. In fact, we still pray those kind of prayers. Passion for souls. I prayed passion for souls. Tireless passion. As we finish this service now, we're going for evangelism. I've told them to organize. I don't have to tell you. It's our calling. It's the call of the... I don't have to tell you that we're going to go for evangelism when we finish service. No. We will carry flyers. We'll go out again. It's our calling. Because me, I will not rest. So you need passion for souls as a prayer point. That body... Okay, what is the body? What is the burden? Is it intercession? It's okay. It can be interceding. For who? For souls. So you see that everything still bothers around getting people to know Jesus. So you need to pray that God will create in your heart a burden for souls. That way I think you'll be able to pass the message well. You may not even know how to pass the message if you don't have burden for souls. You understand what I'm saying now? We are praying yesterday. The reason you were praying when Apostle was ministering was because a burden was created through the word. Is that not? Then it led you to pray. Is that not? Yeah. So there must be a burden created. Then you respond to the call. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And that burden and passion has to be souls. Priority. Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. The first question. The person says that whenever he has a burden, it makes him cry seriously, but doesn't know how to handle it.
Cry. It's good to cry. What's wrong with crying? You have not cried enough. You cry, there's still water in your eye. There's a level you cry, water will finish. Then you now say, God. That time you'll not be crying again. That's when you now start crying yourself. Your heart is crying. Now it's your eye that is crying. That time your heart will be the one crying. There's nothing wrong with crying. Cry as much as you can. But whatever instruction God gives you, stand up and act. Your tears is not a good reason God will say, okay, sorry, no more. You will cry. After you cry, you stand up, will continue. So cry is a good thing to cry.
Thank you very much, sir.
I've also...
The next question, when standing your ground to carry on the vision, how do you do this without disobeying or dishonoring your parents and authorities above you?
Okay, boss.
Amen. All right. So the thing is, what most parents are concerned about is that their children are actually doing the right things. So the one that God is calling, the character of the person at home also goes a long way to show the parent that this child is responsible and it will be fine. Now, Jesus was under authority for years. And the Bible said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Okay? Sometimes some of those restrictions are even for our lives. But there's also a place to draw the line. Is that okay now? Obey your parents in the Lord. There is actually a place where you now say, now this is outright leading outside God's will. Maybe a child is always coming home to the late at night, coming to 11, past 12. Where are you coming from? Prayer meeting. Try and be responsible. Somebody can stab you on the way. Those instructions are for our safety. But there's a place, because sometimes, let me put the balance, please. It is very possible to say, parent, they don't know the burden I'm carrying until you become a parent. You become a father and a mother. You now start saying, now you understand what I'm saying? Put it in perspective. Some of them have not caught the vision of the things you have gotten yet. True. So you pray for them. But there is a place to draw the line. But don't get into outright disobedience. Don't get to the point of shouting at them. No, don't do that. I believe it's clear.
Yes.
God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. This person says, good morning, sirs. On what ground can you submit to another spiritual father? To be specific, sir, I have been serving under my man of God in my undergraduate days, but now I am a graduate and I am done with that state entirely. Initially, I felt I should stay there even after graduation because I know I still need to be trained and coming back to Lagos is going to affect my spiritual life. But now I found a house where I can be trained here in Lagos. Sirs, can I still submit to this man of God here in Lagos? And if yes, how do I go about it, sir, so I do not commit an error?
You are reading poetry. Can you calm down, small, read it again so that...
All right, sir. Then says, on what ground can you submit to another spiritual father? And the person is explaining the situation. He says, to be specific, sir, I have been serving under my man of God in my undergraduate days, but now I am a graduate and I am done with that state entirely. Initially, I felt I should stay there after graduation because I know I still need to be trained. And then coming back to Lagos is going to affect my spiritual life. But now I have found a house where I can be trained here in Lagos. Sirs, can I still submit to the man of God here in Lagos or the one at the other state? And if yes, if I should stay with the person in Lagos or the other state, how do I go about it?
Okay, Apostle.
Amen. How many of you have your parents living in Lagos? Okay, Lagosians. How many of you have ever traveled outside Lagos? Interesting. You change your parents for a while. Fatherhood is not locational. It is destiny based. There are people that have fathers per location. So there's no continuity in their formation process. It's just like someone comes to the hospital for treatment. You ask for the medical history. Because there are drugs you cannot recommend until you know some prevalent conditions the fellow have. Your father knows you. However, fatherhood is not a cult. What are the conditions for leaving a father? Once the person gets into apostasy, he has left Jesus. Has he renounced Jesus? Has he renounced the faith? Is he walking in outright disobedience towards the faith? Living in unrepentant sin. These are the conditions. You follow men as they follow Christ. I was in Ife. My spiritual father is in Ife. And later I moved to Ibadan. He's in Ife. He's still my father. Now I'm in Abuja. He's in Ife. He's still my father. You don't change father based on status. When God calls a man to you, you devote yourself there. However, it is possible that maybe by issue of location, you are serving somewhere else
But you actually let them know, actually, I am accountable to so-so and so person. You see? You let them know. So that doesn't mean that you must serve your spiritual father's church by force. No, no, no. But location does not determine fatherhood. Fatherhood is by revelation, and you stay there. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
That's clear. That's exactly the same thing in my spirit. Just the same thing in my spirit. So location, if you have to move location, you take accountability, you discuss it, then you know you have moved location. Of course, you cannot be in Port Harcourt and be in Lagos, especially with your status as a person starting life. You understand? So it's perfect. That's the answer.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question says, as a lady that God has given a ministry in a particular location, should you marry a man that plans to live far away from that location, like in a far state or country?
Well, as you have gotten the vision as a lady before marriage, stay in the location of the vision. If God has given you the vision and planted you in that location, wherever he's bringing into your life, if he does not permit you to stay in the location where you have already started a work, peradventure is not the person that God has called to you. And if it's the person that God has called to your life, maybe he'll be willing to say, oh, why not? I respect the call of God upon your life, and I'm willing that we're going to settle here. But remember that men are men sometimes. Another person can trick you. That's why you still need to pray. Somebody can trick you and say, oh, when we finish, we know. And you marry the person 1 year after. My dear, carry your bag. There's nothing you can do at that point. They said you want a divorce or something. Do you understand? So prayer is very fundamental. Then number two, you must have a strong conviction and a leading that this is the person. That so that even if he says I should carry my bag, wherever we go, we'll be fine. Remember, you are marrying somebody you want to submit to, and you must be able to submit to. It's very important that you take that into consideration. Yes.
Let me just add a little perspective to that. Don't put full stop where God has put comma. He said, be in this location. He didn't add for life. So why must you marry based on that location? You don't know the future.
Yeah.
There was a sister that we were talking marriage. I had some funny experience. She said she cannot live in Ife. I said I cannot live in Ibadan because God said to be in Ife. Everybody had to go separate ways. Newsflash, I moved to Ibadan. Where is she now? Rwanda. Now I'm in Abuja, she's in Rwanda. You don't know the future. Make your decision consulting the one who knows the future. Very, very important. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question says, is tithe meant for the pastor's upkeep? And how do you correct your pastor even when they are your parents?
When pastor is your parent. Okay, number one, is tithe meant for the pastor's upkeep? Now, you must have a good understanding. As soon as, if the tithe of this church is meant for my upkeep, you understand? Church is a structure. You see, it's just like, just imagine you're running a business. Every part of the business is not your money. Is it your money? If you say every part of the money, business is your money, you one day you eat your capital. Do you understand? Church is an organization. As an organism, also an organization. Do you understand? It has structures. It has systems. It has things that it pays for. It has things that it has to do. There are many things. In fact, can I tell you the truth? Pastor, ideally, is a staff of the church. Like this now, I'm a staff. We have salary payroll. The people that are there, they know our salary. They know what I get allowance. I can't even call. If I try to collect salary like this now, it can affect some things. I need allowance. Do you understand? Different levels of things we do per time. The first 2-3 years of this church, I was coming from Egbeda by myself, transport by myself, everything by myself. I didn't need to bother anybody. Because you are talking about, you are going to pay for that place, you're going to pay, the landlord is waiting. We're paying 150,000 and it was a thing to pay. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So you must understand that tithe is not meant for the pastor's upkeep alone. There are parts of the tithes of the ministry, you understand, depending on the structure of the ministry, how we say, okay, this particular money goes for this particular thing. This one goes for this. This is the salary of everybody that is working in the organization. What we collect is salary or allowance. We don't collect the tithes of the church. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So understand this so that somebody doesn't want to start a ministry because you want tithe. Your life can be tight if you start taking all the tithes. So please bring it to the storehouse. In the storehouse, there are a lot of things to do. There are a lot of things to do in the storehouse. Then we are laborers that get paid our own salary from whatever comes from there. And we also even give tithes out too. That's the funny thing. Everything you pay too is going somewhere too. It's going somewhere too. We are not the ones that will spend that one. Do we understand what I'm saying now? So that's number one. Then number two is what?
How do you correct your pastors if they are your parents?
You appeal to authority. You don't correct authority. You don't shout at authority. In law, I studied law. If when something is not okay, you appeal. There's appeal. Appeal. It's always an appeal thing. You must come with a very... I used to have issues with my dad when we just... My dad was pastor of the Assemblies of God Church for 37 years. So that gives me Sunday school to teach on Sunday school, Sunday morning. As if he has not been seeing me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He give me prayer points on Sunday morning. And so I'm like, I said no. So I started teaching my dad that people have structure. We must have structure in this church. The way I was saying it, one day my dad said... He said to me, he said, seeing you is causing me pain.
God.
Ah. God. I am you. Seeing me is causing you pain. Ah, may I not cause pain? Jabez. He said, may I not cause pain? The thing troubled me. I went to Evangelist KJ Hamilton. Then we discussed. And he said, go and write a full letter to your father and apologize. Do it fast. I apologize. Is there anything you want to tell your father today? Put it in paper so that you will think. Read it. I know whether I qualifies to enter his hand as a suggestion. So that's how I started working. After I submitted my letter, he called me, prayed for me, and he said that because I was giving him trouble instead of helping him. So I said, I'm sorry. Then I started writing suggestions that we close church late. We do then usually like 4.5 hour service or 5 hours. Yes, you start service at 8 o'clock. We close around past 1. What you 2 hour service? What are they teaching you? Even we that we are doing 2 hour service, I know that's why you see what I do with midweek service. I take my time because I know that no true believer will be made 2 hours per week. It will take 20 years for your life to have any direction. 30 years. There are times where we have to lock up. That's why 20 Days of Glory, I have a curriculum of what I will take apart from all my guests. This is what my sheep needs to hear over and over again. So you see, the making takes a lot. So I started suggesting everything to my dad like that. And towards the end of his life, he called me, knelt down, he blessed me. The names of all the men of God he reverenced in his life, he mentioned them on my head. Why? Because I had to amend my ways. Pastor KG said, I can never attack authority. I will always appeal. That if that man was another person and not my father, will I talk to him like that? I said, no. So, and let me say that many of you are pastor students. You don't honor. The reason you will never carry the grace of your father is that you don't honor him. You are despising a grace inside your house and you want to honor one outside. It may not work for you. So I learned to honor the grace from inside. When my dad died, I didn't have spiritual father again because I now knew from that was my spiritual father first. So I stayed there like that. He was the one that fathered me. When I went to meet Reverend Bess, he was the one that I told Reverend Bess to call my dad. Daddy, I've come here. I have my dad in forever. I wasn't pastor worshiping his church again because it was time with the Assemblies of God Church and I left the Assemblies of that time. Reverend Bess called my daddy, discussed, and he said that he's here now. That's the kind of accountability. So he knew my dad had handed me to be there and I stayed there faithfully. He was doing his Assemblies of God ministry. I was working with my own pastor where I was. So you don't attack authority. You appeal to authority. Suggest things in such a respectful and beautiful manner. I think you will be seen as a correct son and daughter. We are in a family. Sons and daughters can tell that there's a way to say it. But by the time you do like Peter and start rebuking Jesus, you hear, get behind me, Satan. Because you may not be designing the will of God. Yes. Apostle,
Thank you very much, Pastor Stav. Next question says, sir, what if controversial topics are your calling? Like you have been called to correct the misinterpretation of the Bible in our world today. How do I go about it?
Thank you.
Amen. Now, this is a question that we have to treat with so much carefulness. There are lots of imbalances in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, because the structure, you know, like the kind of structure we had in Acts 13, where prophets and teachers can gather, we don't have such. Now, as ministers, we are not afraid of controversy. Okay? We are not afraid. But what we do is that we shed light where there is darkness. We don't compound the controversy. And there are things that are just unnecessary. That you spend your life fighting on Twitter. And you have not really done ministry. Okay? So, and that's even the primary assignment of a teacher. You want to bring clarity where there is mysticism. Not somebody just, let me give you an instance. Somebody just waking up. I don't want to give examples. So be careful of becoming the controversy you are trying to solve. Be careful so you don't become the problem you are trying to solve. The simplicity and clarity of God's word accurately presented is enough to dispel controversy. So you don't spend your life, this is the balance, don't spend your life trying to attack people, what they are preaching in their churches. We refute argument by building on the truth. Are you seeing that now? Oh, somebody has taught this. Say so people, we heard them. No, it's not right. And let me say this. The moment Nigeria gets better, many pastors will go to jail. And let me explain. Because they are taking advantage of the bad system. You go and crop a pastor's message and put it out online. In quotes, you want to correct him. They can sue you for defamation of character. Yes. So many a times, many of these things, because of the kind of countries we are, you want to do ministry well. Face your front and mind your business, period. At the end of the day, you will discover you have not spent your life chasing shadows. And God will help us.
Thank you very much, Apostle. Very simple. I think that's just what you need to hear. There are some controversy that you can never get answer to. Message of grace and law, you will never get answer. You will grow old, another generation will come. Titan, you will grow old, another generation will come. So just, we are not called to focus on the, there are some things that are minors in ministry. There are some things that are major. Focus on the major. Build the destinies and life of people so that you don't enter something that you would, at the end of the day, sir, you will realize that you did not achieve anything. Nothing, you will not achieve anything. In fact, see, the followers you get based on controversy, they will now be controversial to you too. You now have generation of multiple controversy. You enter the sea. Just be careful. Be very careful.
See, that reminds me of something God told me. That the message you are preaching controversially to get at others is the same message preparing those who will deal with you. Let's say, for instance, you rebelled against your spiritual father. You are not preaching message. Father should not do this. Those who will deal with you too, that is the exact message that is preparing them.
Yes.
There's a very strong law of seed and harvest in ministry. Be careful.
Thank you, Apostle. Thank you. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. Let's continue.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll just be taking one more question.
Okay.
And this is directed to you, sir. During your session, the first session we had, this person says, sir, does it mean that we aren't meant for secular jobs? And what of people whose gifts are centered towards secular jobs?
Who said you should not do secular job? I said your secular job should be your pulpit. Your secular job should be your platform for ministry. And the essence of your secular job is for the work of the ministry. You are ministry. Your marriage is ministry. Your life, everything about us is what? Ministry. We have been called with an holy calling. Our life, Christianity and ministry is not one thing. Your life, one thing. Me, I've been called to stand in the pulpit. You have been called to be a doctor. What are you doing with the medical profession? The resources you get from medicine, what do you do with it? Just to build a house and have children and train them to school? That would be an error. You will use that money to train children that will serve God. You will use that money to invest in your local church to expand the kingdom. You will use that money to do some other things. So I'm saying that the resources you are making from your job, they are meant for the work of the ministry. And I said ministry is not just about pulpit preaching alone. It's for your marriage is ministry. So you don't use the money you're supposed to take care of your family and raise your children to start playing Bet Niger. That is a ministry that is building. Church work is ministry. You invest into the work of God. You invest into your marriage, into your children, into your future, so that you will not suffer. Everything. You must be a balanced person. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So nobody said you shouldn't do your white collar job, your business. Why are you doing business? Just to make money and buy a house and build that? No. You do business because you want to do it for the work of the ministry. Everything about our life is what? Ministry. So ministry is not about preaching. No. We said that, Abby. Uh-huh. Ministry is not just about this. Ministry is anything we do to advance the cause of the kingdom of God, getting men saved and established in Christ. So your children saved and established in Christ is ministry. Your house, your family brought together, saved and established in Christ is ministry. The church of Jesus Christ you belong to, the local church, people coming in, saved and established in Christ is ministry. So as you're funding your family, you fund the church of Jesus Christ. Honor for your parents too is ministry. Honor for your man of God is ministry. So you must have a balanced life. Don't be once area centered and said, me, oh, this is the only thing I do with my own money. Me, myself, and I. No, you'll be living a selfish life. I think that's just what I was trying to capture. So we go about our jobs so that we can serve. You say, whoever is stealing should stop stealing so that we have enough to do what? To give. Because what they were doing those days in the early church was everybody come, we share our money together and give. They were not building churches. They didn't have much structures for generator, fuel. You understand what I'm saying now? The generator, the diesel runs, that diesel that you're seeing that is running there now, you can use diesel of 20,000 in one service. That's a 150 kVA generator. You run this 20,000, almost 20,000, sometimes 18, depending on how fast and how close. That's only diesel. Do you understand what I'm saying? And those of you who are in the core of the church, you know where we have come like this. And you know the sacrifice. So ministry is everything we do to ensure that our family, basic primary ministry, and the church of Jesus Christ does not suffer. We must give all our lives while we are building gradually our own beautiful life. I want to buy a house. God wants your comfort. God wants you to have a good car. Yes, he wants it. He wants you to drive a good car, have a good house, live a balanced and a beautiful life. But you must prioritize and everything aligning together. So that's just it. That's just it. Thank you very much. God bless you. Apostle, I want to say thank you again. We are very grateful for the sacrifice. Yes. And I want to say thank you to my wife too, for coming and being this. I'm the host like this now. I have guests. Thank you very much. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Church, can you say thank you, sir?